Good evening. June 2nd already. Is this year flying, huh? It's the year to remember. I heard somebody say yesterday it was the year to forget. So far, I think they got a point there. Sunday we started in Romans 6:1. We were talking about our in Christ 31 times in the book of Ephesians, the mystery book, Paul's insight into the mystery. And when we read that and reread it again and again, we'll have his insight. We'll gain his insight into the mystery, and we're working on it. We're trying. We're getting there. And so we went to Romans 6:1, in Christ, more or less explains how we got into Christ, how we were baptized into his death, his burial, and his resurrection, to be raised in newness of life with him. And that we're new creations now, and the old is past. Pelias, those things are passe, old, worn out. And so we're headed to start things all anew, and we have to be renewed in our thinking. So, Romans 6:1, we went through the first 14 verses, I believe. And covered a good bit of things there. And so we'll just go through the first time. Well, let's pray first. I always forget that. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for our in Christ status, our in Christ union, insoluble, organic union with Christ, Lord. One spirit with him. Not one flesh as in the marriage union, but one spirit with Christ. If you have not the spirit of Christ, you are none of his. And I'm pretty sure we all can say tonight that we have the spirit of Christ. And he's our teacher. He's our advocate. He's the one called alongside to aid, to help us. He told the disciples, he'll take what is mine and give it to you. You will testify of me. And that's the Spirit's part. Testify of Christ. And his flesh, in his visit to planet Earth, we learned so much from him. And we saw how he handled every situation and the stamina he had to go through the grueling test of the cross, Lord, so that mankind could be reconciled to you, Father. And we'll never forget him for that. And we thank him. We thank him so much for leaving his heavenly home at your right hand. Always there. When you created man, you made him in your image, his image, our image, you said. And I guess man doesn't realize that, or we wouldn't be acting like we are today. And we just pray for everybody in this nation, Lord, that they would see somehow, Lord, that you are in control. I know it doesn't look like it, but we know, we are convinced that you are in control of all things, Lord. And we're not worried. We know that the destruction will not come nigh me. And I was watching The Five on the Fox News Network, and Dana said to one of the other folks, read Psalm 91 tonight before you go to bed, and you'll feel a lot better. And that's sort of hit me, because that's what we were praying, Psalm 91, the destruction will not come nigh us. Though they fall at our left hand and thousands at our right, the destruction will not come nigh us. And we know that we are under your protective aegis, and that nothing can come against us unless you allow it. So that gives us great comfort, knowing that you are in control, not only of our separate lives individually, but of all the lives and all the people in the world and all the circumstances. And it just gives us great comfort to know that. And that's why we're pretty calm and cool and collective during these times that are turning the world topsy-turvy. And we just thank you for it. The world's not our home anyways. We've been crucified to the world and the world to us. Now we only glory in your cross. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Show us wonderful things out of your word. And in Jesus' name, let's get started. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We'll review 1 through 14 real quick. Just go over it real lightly and more or less just read it. What shall we say then? Answering the folks who say that want to say that grace is a license to sin, and although we were never taught that way, I believe never for a second that a lot of people took it that way, it's sad. It's sad because most of those people probably are no longer seeking you and seeking your word and desiring to learn all that they can from you and all that you want us to know. Are we to continue in sin so that grace might increase? What's that, a rhetorical question? Of course, may it never be. May genoito. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That's an aorist tense. It happened already. We died. How can we still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We covered that. Baptism. We died, D-I-E-D, and we were died, D-Y-E-D, into Christ. We're new now. We're a new creation. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in this newness of life. Sin no longer being his master because he defeated death on the cross. Death no longer has a hold on us, which means sin no longer has on us a hold on us. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self, the Pelias Anthropos, was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, katergao, put down, disengaged, unplugged, whatever terminology you could come up with that. It's been abolished, excuse me, 2 Timothy 1:10, he abolished death, brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. When God does something, he does it forever. He doesn't do it halfway. He does it all the way, and it sticks forever. That's why we can be sure that we know we'll always be saved. We can't do anything that would get us out of his favor. If we're faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. He can't deny himself. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Doulos. For he who has died is freed. Dikao, we have been exonerated, made righteous, justified. That's the word dikao, freed there. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, F-hepax. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider 3:5 of Colossians says, mortify the old man, put him to death, nekrao. Which is the same word for for a corpse, nay cross. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God, who knew no sin. He didn't know sin, but he became sin on the cross for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's the great exchange, catalasso, the exchange rate. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God now. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. There's in Christ. There we go. Therefore, do not let sin reign, basileo, be king in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. Do not go on presenting parahistomy, standing before, presenting yourself, the members of your body. Like I said the other day, there's nothing wrong with your members. There's no sin nature in your members. Your members can only do what your mind tells you to do. So the problem of sin isn't in the members. It's in the mind. We choose to sin or we choose not to sin. And God will never, he'll never influence that decision. He might make some things happen to help us out sometimes, but that was the first gift he gave to Adam, his free volition, to choose as he would, to choose as he will. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. And we saw that that was hopla, which is more weapons than instruments. Because this is a spiritual warfare we're fighting. And we should put on the full armor of God. Breastplate, faith. Belt of truth, with our sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in our hand. Ready to stand our ground. It's not an offensive sword. It's a defensive sword. A little short one, maybe 12, 16 inches long. And we just stand. We stand our ground in Christ, and we fight the spiritual fight. And we have a great example to follow, because he overcame all that ever came against him. Anybody, any situation. Satan tried to get him in the temptation, and he just after three times he gave up and he fled. And Jesus was so wiped out in his flesh that the angels had to come and minister to him to get him back on his feet again. And but we are not under law. The next chapter, chapter 7, it's explained through the marriage, the man and the woman in marriage, and that as long as the husband is alive, the contract cannot be broken, but as soon as he dies, she's free to marry another. And we marry Christ when our husband dies, the law. And that's how he explains things in chapter 7. But now he's still in the baptism phase, being baptized together with us, buried, planted together, planted as a seed to raise up, to be grown up. And we were grown up together with him when that seed matured. Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. How shall we, he died to sin, still live in it? Yes, we are dead. Dead man can't sin anymore. When we were unsaved, we didn't know anything but to sin. But now when we sin, it's against our nature. It never seems right, because it's against our new nature. And we should not live in sin any longer. And because grace is too wonderful. He's planned it all completely, and it's the gift, and we don't have to ever pay anything back to him, or he doesn't expect any favors from us, but just to receive. Our part in grace is to be thankful and to receive it, and he's pleased with that. Yes, and it's against our nature to sin now, because we have been crucified, buried, and raised with Christ. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. There it was, on the scene, in flesh, in the tent, in an earthly body, like the tabernacle from the Old Testament that had all the utensils, the Ark of the Covenant, the bread, the show bread, the altar of incense, and the lampstand to illuminate it all. And that was the important part, that so it would be under great light all the time. And that stuff lit that tabernacle, but in heaven, in eternity, He'll be the lamp. There'll be no use for the sun or any lamps or anything. Christ, the Lamb, will be our lamp. The glory as of the only begotten, the only one ever born of the Holy Spirit, of the Father. He's the all three, the Godhead bodily, indwelled His flesh. And same with us. That should give us a real attitude to be holy as He is holy. John said, "This was of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank, for he existed before me. For of His pleroma we have all received grace upon grace, anti against grace." Like the waves lapping up against on the shore, before one goes back out, another one's coming in and lapping up what was going back out. And it's just one grace gift, one grace act after another. Because that's how He deals. That's how he deals with us. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace is the power not to sin. Romans 5:21, "So that sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ." The power of sin is in the law, not in our bodies, not in our flesh. It's an outward. What did he tell? Told Cain, it's crouching. Wants to get in. He's at your door crouching. You must master it. Don't let him in. And of course, we know he didn't pay no attention to that either. So besides giving a stinking a sacrifice of his own produce and the work of his own hands, he was sent packing out over the wilderness into whatever it was back then, desert. Romans 6:16. Now, do you not know that when you present your bodies to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Hupakoe. To hear under. That's to hear under, and it's for a purpose, so you can obey it. You just don't hear it, but you hear, and it's your authority. Grace is an authority. Grace is not a license to sin. It's the authority of God over your life. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching all men, and teaching us to deny all ungodliness. In Titus, Paul wrote to Titus, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" 1 Corinthians 6:15. "Shall I then take away the members of Christ, make them members of a prostitute? May it never be." Megan Oida. 6:19 of 1 Corinthians. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You've been bought with a price, not money, not gold, not silver, but the precious blood of the Lamb. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, not with perishable, but the precious blood of the Lamb." There we have Oide again, no longer Gnosko, but we should know these things now perfectly as we've seen them. as good as if we seen them happen. And like I said before, hupakoe is obedience to sin leading to death, or obedience. What are you going to hear under? Sin or righteousness? It's your choice. Choose the day. I've set before you death. Choose life that you may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. I think that's what I wrote. And yeah, that oida, that's a perfect, it's always the perfect tense. So it's perfectly known things on our part. And that's why we keep going, keep learning, keep believing. As we received Christ through faith, continue in Him. And in Colossians 2:6, it's never more than hearing and believing. Sometimes you hear somebody talking on the radio or that, and you get all, oh man, I ain't doing much. I ain't doing any of that. You know, and they get busy, do this. We got to be like this. We got to do this. And it's not going to happen unless Christ motivates us. Unless it's Him willing and doing in us. His faith at work in our new man. Because the new man is shaped, formed after Him who created it. 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart, the cardia, not this one, the stream of consciousness, the different compartments. And every time you hear a message, it's flushing out the old norms and standards, mama, grandma's old religion, that old-time religion, everything you ever learned. Even stuff that didn't apply to Christianity or Bible teaching, just the plain raising of your parents on you. Some did a great job, and some don't do too well. I think we see that on the news here lately. A lot of parents didn't raise their children too well, I don't believe. But you became obedient from the heart, the cardia, to that form of teaching to which you were committed. The form of teaching is tupon didache. The form, that word is tupos. That is the root word for Paul, his example, the hupo tupos is. And that's the root word of it. And didache is the teaching. And he's talking about what he's gone over here so far. This is the form of teaching to which we were committed. I think King James says that it was committed to us, but in the Greek it says that the word, that teaching, was committed to us. We were given over to it. Paradidomi, the same word for betrayal. It can have a good meaning or it can have a bad meaning. Being turned over, this committed to this form of doctrine, is a good thing. When Judas betrayed Jesus, that's a bad use of the word. 2 Timothy 1:13, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The word for standard is, like I said, form hupotuposis. Example, following Paul's example. Though you were slaves to sin, or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Can Christians do that stuff? Afraid so. They will not inherit. They won't have. They won't realize their inheritance. Romans 8:17 says you have to suffer with them to share in that, inheritance, to be a co-heir. So we're going about doing our own thing there. That's not glorifying. But good news is, such were some of you, but you were washed. Luo. But you were sanctified. Hagiosmos. And you were justified. Dikao. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Though you were servants of sin, that's the imperfect tense. You were being servants of sin. It was a way of life. You didn't know any better. That's why it's kind of stupid when you're given the gospel to tell somebody to confess their sins, because they have no idea what they did. It was a sin. But you just make sure they know that they've never believed in Christ. That's the sin, unbelief, that the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of. But now, obedient from the heart, that tupon didache, type, example, image, model, root of hupotoposis. That form of teaching that you were delivered over to, paradidomi, handed over, can be used good, or as Judas paradidomied Jesus over to the Jews. Not just the teaching in this chapter, but all Paul's epistles. He's speaking of. Consider the members of your earthly body dead. Mortify. I always like that word, mortify. We do it in our thinking. We put to death the old man. We take off the old garments. We put on the new garments. And that's how we do that in our thinking, by being renewed by these principles from like Romans 6 and 7 and Ephesians and Colossians. And mostly the prison epistles are the where he really gets down with the mystery teaching. It was around before that. He mentions at the end of Romans here, the mystery according to the revelation of Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, it's the wedding analogy in the next chapter. I don't know if we'll go there yet or not. Haven't decided. 6:18. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now we have Eleutheria. Freed, liberated. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, therefore keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Slavery to the sin nature. Yeah, we'll call it the sin nature, but it's spiritual death. Same difference. But it's not in your members, like I said. It's in your thinking. Oh, remember the good old days? Oh, back in the day we had some of that. Yeah. You forgot the outcome of those things, where you think back and remember where you had so much fun. Then the outcome wasn't really too great. We'll see that in a couple of minutes, too. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a Eleutheria, liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The Spirit's the Lord. The Lord's the Spirit. All three members are God. Whether it's the Father, whether it's the Lord, or whether it's the Spirit, it's all God. One God. The Lord, He is one. As He spoke these things, many came to believe in Him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's your word, Eleutheria, there. Eleutheria hontos, free indeed. And a couple more verses there. Now, slaves of righteousness are the Lord's freedman. If you were saved while a slave, you're the Lord's freedman. If you were saved while you were a free man, you're the Lord's slave. So, either way, you're the Lord's. We're not our own. He bought us with a price. And we should think that way, that just to glorify Him. And mostly, like I said, that's rejoicing, giving thanks for His grace. How wonderful it is. The song Amazing Grace gets to you every time you hear it. Still yanks them feelings in you. You can't believe how great it is. And that He would love someone like me, or you, or any man. Because there's sure nothing lovable about us. He looked down from heaven and He saw that all men were no good. That's what the first two chapters of Romans are about. The depravity of man. No chance of him ever saving himself. Nothing that he could do, or nothing he could say, or nothing he could think. Nothing. So God had to step in. And a righteousness through faith, through the sacrifice, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's salvation. Not knowing the law, not knowing a bunch of word, not making a new commitment or a, no, I promise not to do this anymore or any of that stuff, because sure, as soon as you do that, you're gonna blow it probably, because the law is the power of sin. Sin is the sting of death, but law is the power of sin. When the law came in, it took up residence in me, and it formed a place like a fortress to get me to send all these troops out and to make me bite on that temptation and just go ahead and sin, and then everything's ruined again, and then you gotta rebound, and you gotta get back, and then you gotta change your mind, and you gotta realize that you did, and there's nothing you can do about it, and we just confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am now speaking in human terms, 6:19, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in a further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's all that means. And that, when you do that, it results in sanctification. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. But if our righteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is He? I'm speaking in human terms. Paul does that once in a while. He must feel that he's not really getting through, or he's thinking that things are falling on deaf ears. So he puts it humanly speaking. And he does that two or three times. That's the only two I wrote down. But Paul is now speaking in human terms because of the weakness, asthene. Our incapacity actually means illness and frailty. As he was teaching the soulish or carnal, and some haven't quite grasped the concept of his teaching so far. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41, Jesus told the disciples in the garden. And they snapped right to it and, you know, stayed awake. No, they didn't. They went back to sleep. Until you get these things in your soul and guard them by getting more, you're just as weak as the unsaved. You might as well tell an unsaved man that he's been crucified with Christ, and he'll think you're nuts. And we are probably, but that's between us and the Lord. The word for impurity is akarthesia. That is karthesis. To be cleansed, the A at the beginning, that's the negative A. That's the same as our English un. So, or it takes away, it's the negative. Impurity and the uncleanness, the akarthia. of which in English un plus catharizo to cleanse or purify. Uncleanness, sanctification is hagiosmos, holy, set apart, be holy. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus. That's 1 Peter, I believe, but it comes from Leviticus 19:2 and 27. Personal progressive sanctification. It's why we're still left on this planet. He didn't save us and take us right to heaven, but he left us here for a purpose. And that's to continue to abide in him, to produce fruit, the right kind of fruit, spiritual fruit, and to glorify him, and that he will receive all the glory through all of eternity for all that his believers who lived that way did through him. It'll be a testament to his grace. For when you were slaves of sin, verse 20, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. Let's see what Jeremiah had to say here. Jeremiah 12:13. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns, strained themselves to no profit, but be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Being ashamed, the Lord doesn't shame us. That's usually in the middle voice, and we do that to ourselves. Any time we're ashamed, we've brought that on ourselves. The Lord won't make us ashamed, usually. Ezekiel 16:63. So that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth anymore because of your humiliation when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. Romans 7:5. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members of our body to bear fruit unto death. But let us not forget. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so what? Death spread to all men, not sin. Because all sinned in Adam. When Adam sinned, we all sin. The very first lesson you learned in the Bible. Every plant, every tree, every animal will reproduce after its own kind. And same with Adam. When he fell, he produced nothing but little sinners. And, it's hard to believe sometimes that little baby in a manger or in a baby crib is a little sinner, but it's a judicial thing, more or less. They haven't grown up. First time they say no, that'll be their first sin, but they don't sin in the similitude of Adam till they're a lot older. Galatians 6:8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. For they sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind, Hosea 8:7. Sad truth is, many walk, of whom Paul often said and now tells us even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, their feelings, their emotions, their senses, and whose glory is in their shame. Aiskunamai, who set their minds on earthly things. They glory in their shame because they don't have anything else to glory in. 1 John 2:28. Now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence, nor shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Like I said, we do it to ourselves. But it also says in Isaiah 28:16, good news, whoever believes in him will never be disappointed or ashamed. Romans 10, I believe it's quoted in. 6:22. But now, having been freed, there's a Lutheria again, from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. What's the word for that? Karpos. Same as fruit production. You derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. There's your sanctification again. And the outcome, eternal life. Now. You don't have to wait for eternity. It's not only a quantity. We'll live forever and ever to the aeons and aeons to come. But it's now also. It's a quality of life. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's abundant life. John 10:10. Thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Our sanctification. Sanctify them, Father. Another request in his high priestly prayer. By thy word is truth. So we're sanctified by the word, by his word in us, doing its work, flushing out that stream of consciousness, going into our noose, and then crossing the epinosis bridge to become wisdom and true epinosis, stuff that we can apply to every situation, every problem that we ever have. Romans 6:23. Last verse. For the wages of sin is death. That's our payment. That's our paycheck. The paycheck of sin is death, but the free gift, the charisma of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the provision. The death is the payment for sin. Wages, but the free gift, charisma, the grace gift of God. So I hope we learned anything the last couple messages, is that grace is not a license to sin, but it's an awesome opportunity to glorify God, to walk in faith, to walk by his Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but fulfill the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought maybe that if anybody would be listening, Lord led them to listen on the computer, these messages, that maybe that you don't quite understand, and things are like going over your head, or a friend might have invited you to listen along, and you have no idea what I've been talking about. Could be the problem that you've never believed in Christ. So I just want to take a few minutes here to explain what it takes to be in Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Those who believe have eternal life. Those who do not believe are condemned already, because they were condemned in their first father, Adam. And it was a judicial thing. You did nothing. And you did nothing to cause that to happen. But that's the way God did it. So that through thousands of years, not millions yet, thousands of years of sin, people doing their own thing against God, and that one time, one act of righteousness would take away all those transgressions and sins. And they're no longer an issue. Sins are no longer an issue. God was in Christ judging men's sins, not judging them, but judging them to Christ. He said, before he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of him in God. And it's merely a choice. Choose. Repentance is the change of mind. Go from thinking that what is Christ, I don't know, I don't understand, to I believe. I believe that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead. Even if you don't realize what your sins are, you've known all your life that there's something maybe there's a hole in you, and you try to fill it so many ways like all of us, and it had nothing's worked so far. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. Read the book of John many times. It's all about faith and believing. Different people that came across Jesus' path when he was in his flesh, and who merely believed and are going to have eternal life. And like I said, it takes no work, nothing on our accounts, just mere faith, and that's not a work. It's just a decision, a yes or no. Abraham, amen, God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed what God told him about the stars of the heaven and that his seed, that he would be the father of millions and millions of believers in Christ who merely place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation. So if we get in an attitude of prayer, Father, just anybody who might be listening, Lord, soften their hearts, Lord, just irrigate. Cause them to be open for the message, Lord, that you love the world so much that you gave your Son, and that whoever believes, because he did all the work, he went to the cross, despising the shame of being beaten, being taken and tried wrongly. Beaten by Roman soldiers, probably the most depraved men on the planet at that time. And then on the cross, taking the hit for all the sins of all men, for all mankind, for all times. And it's as easy as just saying, Father, I'm believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for that grace salvation. Now teach me, excuse me, teach me the way that I should go. And thank you. Just tell him thanks. That's all he wants. Want no promises or anything. Just believe that he is the Son of God. And believing, have life in his name. So, Father, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And it's been awesome the last 4 weeks, and I can't. The pleasure is so great of getting to stand here for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an awesome privilege, and I would have never expected it in a million years, and I thank you for that. And I know that I never did anything to cause that to happen. And bless your word. Bless this message, Lord, to our hearts, Lord, that it would impact us, that we would have oida knowledge of all these, so that we could be overcomers and walk in newness of life every minute of the day, continually. And we know that we can, because you're able to make us. Your power and your grace is how we do it. And we just thank you so much for that. And once again, Lord, become doctors, blow their minds, Lord, when they operate on Scott. Lord, be with him, strengthen him, and heal him completely. And heal him, and he'll be, I know he'll be glad to give you all the glory. He'd be giving you all the glory, and we do that too also for everything. Even the wacky world that we're living in right now, we thank you for it, because we'll all grow, we'll all gain something from our experiences. And like I said before, you're in charge, and we love it. And we wouldn't have it any other way. And we thank you for all in Jesus' precious name. And bless the offering as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
On my elbow. Where is Lass? I just thought about Lass. Where's he at?
I'm in the spirit of Lass.
Oh, you are?